This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says progress is being made in the western part of the state from Helene, but there's a new hurricane threatening the southeast. It's Milton, now a Category 5 storm, but ABC meteorologist Kenton Jewicki says water, not wind, is the chief concern ahead of Milton's expected landfall late Wednesday or early Thursday near Tampa.
We're looking at record-breaking storm surge with this hurricane. Tampa Bay, and down to Sarasota, you're looking at 8 to 12 feet of storm surge.
President Biden's approved an emergency declaration for Florida to free up federal resources. Today, the president hosted a candle lighting at the White House, one of a number of ceremonies in the U.S., marking a year since the October 7th attack on Israel. The Supreme Court's allowed the ban on emergency abortions that violate Texas law to remain in place. Georgia's Supreme Court halted a ruling striking down the state's near ban on abortions as it considers the appeal. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump in Wisconsin for the fourth time in 8 days. He held a campaign rally yesterday in Juneau.
I'm putting everything on the line to fight for you, and we're going to fight for you, and we're all going to win together. It's going to be the greatest win in the history of our country. I believe that.
There's less than a month before the election. The latest Marquette poll has Kamala Harris with a 4-point lead. A new radioisotope facility to treat people with cancer is open in Beloit. North Star Medical Radioisotopes plans to produce 1.5 million doses each year for cancer treatment. The company calls itself the first in the United States to have commercial-scale multi-radioisotope production and radiopharmaceutical manufacturing in the same location. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Western Wisconsin Democrats held a Project 2025 town hall this weekend in La Crosse. Representative Jill Billings, Senator Brad Paff, and Congressman Mark Pocan talked about how Project 2025 would impact people living in the state's 3rd congressional district, such as reduction or elimination of Medicaid and Medicare, as well as fewer protections for reproductive rights. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump, who campaigned in Juneau, Wisconsin over the weekend, denies any involvement with Project 2025. A man charged with homicide in Winona County is set to go on trial starting today. Adam Fravel is accused of killing Madeline Kingsbury in March of 2023. Investigators said Kingsbury was last seen with Fravel dropping off their 2 children at daycare. Her body was found 3 months later. Fravel faces 4 charges as the trial gets underway this week. The venue was changed to Blue Earth County, about 2 hours west of Winona. No cameras will be allowed in the courtroom. Jury selection is expected to last all week. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers get the win in L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Rams 24-19. Tight end Tucker Kraft with 2 touchdown catches, including one that went for 66 yards.
Excellent play call. Like, we had that set up, and we were coming in for our second half adjustments. We liked the defense they were giving us on second and medium, so we dialed it up and we executed.
Wide receiver Romeo Doubs suspended by the team for not reporting to practice last week. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation. I fully anticipate him coming back. I'm hopeful that he'll come back.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers with a 52-6 win over Purdue in Madison. The Badgers travel to Rutgers next. NBA, the Bucks open their preseason with a loss in Detroit, 120-87. Bobby Portis led with 16 points.
To help a team win, you know, I've learned this, to fight through it, go out there and play. At the end of the day, basketball remains the same. The game never changes.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today with high temperatures soaring to the upper 60s. We've got calmer winds and clear skies tonight, allowing our temperatures to fall to near 40. We get shoved a little warmer tomorrow to the low 70s under abundant sunshine. And with this dry stretch, we're still in an elevated fire risk. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane, Matt Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Earl Ingram Jr. joins us at 10:33. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review at 11. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 with a big program. It is Monday, October 7th, 2024. Welcome into the show. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. High atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Blue skies, a few clouds, leaves finally starting to turn a little bit here on State Street. You can feel a bit of a chill in the air, Mr. Zommers.
A bit. And thankfully, it's also starting to cool down in the studio.
Yes. More importantly for Zommers, it's starting to cool down the studio, you understand. Appreciate you being here on the second hour. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, a little bit of our interview with former two-time governor of Iowa, Tom Vilsack, now the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. Or as you ever hear Orion Samuelson? Probably not. You're too young.
I don't think so, no.
Orion Samuelson was a great agriculture broadcaster, and we used to call, I think it was called the Samuelson Report or something like that. And we carried it on WRCO for years and years. And he grew up in Wisconsin, but he had this cadence and his voice of it just was amazing. And I wish I can't, you know, and he would always say agriculture. I don't know. I can't really, he kind of pronounced it. It was a set pattern. I'm Orion Samuelson talking about agriculture. It was fantastic. Here it is. You find it? Is this it? All right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Daly. I spent 20 years with United Press International.
That's not him. That's Dennis Daly.
Well, it said it was. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's fine. Well, we find a little Orion Samuelson later. We'll play it for you. But a great guy. Anyway, Tom Vilsack is going to be an interview with him from Friday. We'll be at the bottom of the hour. Right now, I want to turn to another top story over the weekend, and that is Donald Trump spreading more lies, false information, and rumors about FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Association, or Administration, pardon me. And this is serious business because lives are at stake. And I'm not going to play all the cuts of Trump because I'm just not going to be part of spreading the misinformation. But he's saying, again, very dark, inaccurate, beyond inaccurate, just flat out lies. Dark stuff about what's happening in the South after the last hurricane. And now there's another one on the way. And he's making things up, saying that the Biden administration has taken the FEMA money and given it to undocumented workers. In other words, again, dividing people and saying the reason that you're hurting, the reason that things are so bad for you is because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have taken that money and given it to non-citizens to help them.
Like, just think about that for a second. Like, whatever you believe, whichever side of the fence you're on, just think about it conceptually. Why would anybody take disaster relief money and then hunt down undocumented citizens and then give it to them, thus right. having to document them. Like right. that's a whole huge process that just doesn't make sense.
And it's to divide people. It's very simple. It is taking advantage of a disaster, a hurricane, and when people are hurting and at their most vulnerable, oftentimes people want to blame someone. It makes, you know, whenever you're in a bad situation, it's human nature, right? Is that you want to blame this on someone. And so Trump is giving them someone to blame it on. It's gotten to the point where FEMA has had to put up a page on their official website to address the rumors. Now this from FEMA 2 hours ago is saying, quote, if you're in the path of Hurricane Milton, this is the one that's going to hit Florida the next day or so, the time to act is now. If evacuation orders are given, do not delay. Leave immediately. Staying could mean risking your life and the lives of those you care about. Reed Galen, our friend at the Union, saying, please do what FEMA is asking if you're reading this in the targeted area. I'll tell you what is true, by the way. According to Newsweek out a couple of days ago, they published a full list of Republicans in Congress who voted against FEMA funding before Hurricane Helene hit. According to Newsweek, as Hurricane Helene careened towards Florida's panhandle, numerous Republicans voted against extending funding for the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Last week, Congress approved $20 billion for FEMA's disaster relief funding as a part of a stopgap spending bill to fund the government through December 20th. But the measure left out billions of dollars in requested supplemental disaster funding. The Senate approved the measure by a 78-18 vote on September 25th after it passed in the House on a 341-82 vote. Republicans supplied the no votes in both chambers. So who is it that's voting against funding for hurricane relief? This is not rumor. It's not innuendo. It is provable by the roll call vote in the House of Representatives. Who could be so terrible as to deny funding as they knew a hurricane was careening towards fellow Americans, and instead of helping them, they turned their back? Who could that be? According to the vote, the only two people in Wisconsin who voted against hurricane funding, United States Republican Senator Ron Johnson and the member of the House of Representatives from the 3rd District, Derek Van Orden. These are the people who are actually denying funds. But don't take it from me. Let's play it, Zomers. Here's Republican Governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp. First, going to play what Trump claimed last week. And here's what Brian Kemp actually said. Play it.
We do need some help from the federal government. They have to get together, ideally with the governor. The governor needs to, he's been trying to get them, and I'm sure they're going to come through. But he's been calling. The president hasn't been able to get him. But...
And now here's what Brian Kemp, the governor, Republican governor of Georgia, actually said.
So I just spoke. The president just called me yesterday afternoon. I missed him and called him right back. And he just said, hey, what do you need? And I told him, you know, we got what we need. We'll work through the federal process. He offered that if there's other things we need, just to call him directly, which I appreciate.
But don't take it just from the governor of Georgia. How about United States Senator Tom Tillis on the FEMA situation down there?
You need to listen to what the Republican senator from North Carolina, Tom Tillis, said about the rescue and recovery efforts.
I'm actually impressed with how much attention was paid to a region that wasn't likely to have experienced the impact that they did. For anybody who thinks that any level of government, anybody here, could have been prepared precisely for what we're dealing with here, clearly are clueless. But right now, I'm out here to say that we're doing a good job.
All right, so there was a Tom Tillis, the Republican U.S. Senator from North Carolina, says anybody who doesn't think that the government is doing everything they can is, quote, clueless. Speaking of clueless, the co-chair of the Republican Party of the nation, good old Lara, not Laura, Lara Trump was on. She listened to that. Here's what she said.
So he and others are saying, please, to the former president and to
Dana
others,
Bash,
stop
and then
spreading
Laura Trump's about to respond.
Because it's hurting people in North Carolina.
I'm so glad to hear that he feels that way, but it's coming directly from people there. You can go online and you can look at videos of people recording themselves and posting online saying, we need help. No one has come here. We have nothing. And no one has even addressed the situation in my neighborhood or my area. So I'm glad to hear that he feels very good about that. And I honestly, I hope that we hear more of that. I want them to recover there as soon as possible. And it's tragic, the loss of life that we've already seen. I think that number, sadly, is going to continue to go higher. And it's a tragedy all around.
Did you catch that? You can go online and see. In other words, go on Facebook. Facebook has the truth, not the U.S. Senator from North Carolina, not the governor from Georgia, both Republicans. Go on Facebook. And yes, are there lots of people still hurting and not receiving relief? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that the federal government and the state governments aren't doing everything they can. And what about these Republicans who voted to stop the funding? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go out to Los Angeles. Tom, L.A. Tom, what say you?
Well, I first would like to say that if Republicans in power are spewing it, you can bet that they're doing it.
Well said.
And, you know, this all goes back to Project 2025. There won't be any type of even a FEMA that will even be there if Donald Trump gets into power, because it's going to be all about the authoritarian, dear leader, type of situation, just like Trigvi says, all the time about the authoritarians that he's dealt with. Trump has a poem out there. It's about a snake. The thing that the cult doesn't realize that he is the snake that he's talking about in that poem. Mm. And also, there's a movie I watched this weekend on Amazon Prime. It was called The Game Is Up, and it was Disillusioned Trump Voters Tell Their Stories. I'd highly recommend that to anybody that is in MAGA or, knows MAGA, because honestly, these people actually saw exactly what he was about, which was, just about lies, and was just about what people wanted to hear. And, there's just no organization to this guy. Yeah. It's always chaos with these people.
Yeah.
And Kamala Harris is measured. She is calm. She puts together a plan. And then she goes and attacks what needs to be done.
Yeah.
This is not them at all. And I just hope for all those people out there that really care about women, you really are going to get out and vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Because you know what? A real man actually will vote for Kamala Harris, because just take away all the stuff about his convictions and all that kind of stuff, which you people don't believe is true. Just think about how he treats women in general.
How he treats people, right?
Like
to your point earlier,
people.
To your point, Tom, we talked about this earlier in the show. This, the demeanor, right? One candidate is losing his crap. I'll clean it up for radio, and screaming and telling hateful lies. The other person is calm, cool, giving facts and acting like the person she is, the mature leader in the room. That should tell you everything you need to know, right? Appreciate the call, Tom. Thank you so much, L.A. Tom. Stay tuned. More of your phone calls on the other side, 855-752-4842. Also going to hear from a good Iowan at the bottom of the hour. Former governor of Iowa, Tom Vilsack, joins the program. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5000. 5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hello again and welcome to U.S. Farm Report. I'm Orion Samuelson, and yes, it's our annual tuxedo show because last Saturday night, we were in Bismarck, North Dakota, where the nation's four outstanding young farmers were named. We're going to meet them during the next 30 minutes. We'll talk to some former outstanding young farmers, Keith Bjorke, now head of ASCS. He'll give you some valuable information for farm program sign-up. So stay with us for that and more after this from your Case IH dealer.
The great Orion Samuelson, a Wisconsin native, for so very long on radio. Isn't that a voice? I mean, that's like a voice from God voice.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Doesn't get better than Orion Samuelson. We don't have Orion Samuelson, but we do have another great leader in agriculture, Tom Vilsack, former governor of Iowa, and now U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, joins us after the bottom of the hour. Right now, talking about Donald Trump spreading lies about FEMA disaster relief going to victims of hurricane disaster in the South. Simply not true, this re-diverting of funds to immigrants. Not true. We heard it from U.S. Senator, Republican of North Carolina, Tom Tillis, who said the government's doing everything they can. Federal government's been great. Anybody who doubts that is just not up with it. Doesn't understand. Heard from Republican governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp. Joe Biden's doing everything he can, everything they want. Who isn't doing everything they can are U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and U.S. Congressman Derek Van Orden, both from Wisconsin, who voted against funding hurricane relief and FEMA just a couple of weeks ago. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the phones. They are backed up. We'll get you in order as we take them. Make it quick if you can, please. Karina first, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee. Karina, quickly, what say you?
Hi, Todd. Well, two things. First is I would like to ask Laura, is that the same people on the Facebook who's saying that there's immigrants eating pets?
Right, exactly. Good
like
point.
I really would like to know.
Wait, then, by the way, we got something later. Second. We got something later on in the show, Karina. We're going to try to get it in before the end of the show. We have an update on what's happening in Ohio. You're going to want to stay tuned, but go ahead quickly.
Right.
Karina just honked at somebody and flipped him off. No, what happened? Wait, are you okay, Karina? My God, be careful.
Somebody was backing up at me without looking at a truck. So anyway, and the second thing is, you know, although I don't enjoy somebody's pain ever and difficulties, but I can say that the funny part is all of those states are Republicans, and, you know, karma is a bitch.
Well, there's that, too. Thanks, Karina. I appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Dick, listening on WMDX in Madison. If you can make it brief, Dick, go ahead.
Well, you know, there's actually active duty people down there, too, as well. So, you know, it's really bad. You know, and for him to say this stuff is just pathetic. But the other thing is, what is it just as egregious with him?
Yeah.
In 2018, when he said the sky was falling and everybody was coming from South America, and then he moves active duty and all kinds of troops to the border, and nothing happens, and he has them down there during Thanksgiving holiday. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Well, and if we have time, we'll get to it, where a former Republican Trump staffer talks about how Trump handled FEMA funds. And it's not a good look. Right. Not a good look at all. Thanks, Dick. Appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Jack, listening to WMDX out of Merrimack. Jack, if you can make it brief, what do you got?
Now, first of all, it seems that the MAGA rhinos have learned very well from the fascists. Joseph Goebbels said, accuse the other side of that of which you are guilty. And that's pretty much what they're doing, because the Trump administration diverted funding from FEMA in order to basically incarcerate a bunch of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing is, here's a quote from Hannah Arendt, a German-American historian. The constant lying is not aimed at making people believe the lie, but to ensure no one believes anything anymore. And, of course, if you can't tell truth from fiction, how can you tell whom to vote for?
Yeah. Good stuff there, Jack. Good information as well. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Out of the newrepublic.com, newrepublic.com, transcript, Trump's unhinged handling of disasters revealed by insider in an interview with Olivia Torre, a top Homeland Security official in the Trump administration, about how badly Trump politicized disaster responses as president, as seen from the inside. Great interview by Greg Sargent, who lays this out that, you know, look, you've talked about this as a former insider. You saw it directly. You know, says you've been a leading critic to your former boss. What do you got? She says, here's the transcript. All right. Says, quote, I have a lot of memories of working in the Trump White House where there are numerous situations where the government apparatus that does the whole disaster relief declaration process would come to a halt because the disaster declaration that needed to be signed by the president was sitting on Donald Trump's desk. Quote, it was frustrating, as you can imagine, because we as national security officials serve for the greater good of the country. Our job is to help Americans, especially someone like me, who is in the Homeland Security role, working and advising the vice president. Our jobs are to work in response to a crisis as fast as possible and manage this. There were numerous instances where I had the head of government agencies calling me saying, can you maybe get the vice president to weigh in on this because it's still sitting on Trump's desk and he hasn't approved it yet, unquote. This woman was in charge of Mike Pence's Homeland Security and counterterrorism advisor. You want to know why Mike Pence isn't on the ticket? Because as much as you may disagree with him, as I do on policy, he at least had a modicum of decency to A, do the right thing on January 6th and certify the election, and B, here's the bar being really low. Mike Pence said, look, when it comes to disasters, we can't make it political. We actually have to help people who are trying to recover from disasters. And you know who stopped it, according to Pence's own Homeland Security counterism advisor? Donald J. Trump. And it lines up exactly what Liz Cheney told us on Friday, or last week in Ripon. When Trump was told on January 6th that Pence had to be moved to a more secure location on January 6th, he looked at the advisor and said, quote, so what, unquote. That's who Donald Trump is. Back with more after this. Don't go anywhere. We have Tom Vilsack, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show right here on the Civic Media Ready Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Madison's Camp Randall Football Stadium is getting ready to host its first concert in 28 years. The UW Athletic Department says Coldplay will bring its world tour to Madison sometime next year. The last concerts at Camp Randall were back in 1997 with the Rolling Stones and U2. The Marquette poll shows voter divisions are starker now than the last two election cycles. Sharonda Orridge of Minneapolis says she's voting for Kamala Harris because she's concerned about preserving democracy.
It's closer to my vision than what I see for Donald Trump because he don't see people. He just see himself.
46% of Wisconsin voters tell the Marquette poll they've stopped talking to some people they know because of politics. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. No one is hurt after a fire at a La Crescent assisted living facility Saturday afternoon. The fire was reported at 3:31 p.m. to officials, who arrived a few minutes later to find the building visibly on fire. Staff was busy evacuating 17 residents when fire crews arrived. Dry, windy conditions caused the fire to spread to the entire building. Crews from six departments, including two from Wisconsin, worked to put out the fire. Several organizations, including the Red Cross, are helping residents with temporary housing. The spring election is several months away, but in La Crosse, one candidate has already declared to run for mayor. Shondell Washington Spivey, a former La Crosse school board member and community leader, will announce his campaign tomorrow. Mitch Reynolds is the current mayor. This week, the city council will review a proposal that would create a city administrator position to take on some of the duties currently done by the mayor's office, such as creating a city budget. That position would have a salary just under $200,000. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Godfather 2, or The Conversation might be most people's response to the question, what is your favorite Francis Ford Coppola movie? When asked that exact question on a Twitter Q&A, the director surprised people and said his favorite film when it came to his own projects was Rumblefish. The film starred Mickey Rourke, Diane Lane, Nicolas Cage, and Matt Dillon and was based on the 1975 book of the same title by Outsiders writer S.E. Hinton. Might be time for a rewatch. A diehard Milwaukee Brewer fan is making the news for all the wrong reasons. Apparently, attending a Brewer playoff game was more important than being there for the birth of his first child. How do we know? The man held up a onesie and a sign that said, "First baby due today. Am I having a boy, a girl, or a playoff win?" The box next to playoff win was the one he checked. Let's not judge. The guy loves baseball, and maybe the baby isn't even his. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today with high temperatures soaring to the upper 60s. We've got calmer winds and clear skies tonight, allowing our temperatures to fall to near 40. We get shoved a little warmer tomorrow to the low 70s under abundant sunshine. And with this dry stretch, we're still in an elevated fire risk. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great, not really, you have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago film critic and historian Maria Gates. And Heather Heil from the Green Bay Children's Museum joins me in studio to discuss upcoming events.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Pursuing truth.
truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Monday, October 7th, 2024. Glad to have you along with us. On Friday, we got a little ring-a-ling and said, hey, would you like to talk to U.S. Secretary Vilsack? Well, a U.S. secretary, what are you going to say, Zommers? No, we are too busy. But no, thankfully, we sat about 5 o'clock at the end of the day on Friday. Governor, two-term governor of Iowa, Tom Vilsack, was in Madison for the World Dairy Expo. I live not far from the Dane County Coliseum, now called the Alliant Energy Center, I guess, where the World Dairy Expo was being held. It's a great event. People from all over the world come in to talk about, to show dairy, talk about dairy. It's a great event, and Secretary Vilsack was in town for that. He came on and talked with us on Friday, not in his official role. So if you're wondering why I'm not asking about U.S. ag policy, it was because I was not allowed to under, it's called the Hatch Act, which separates when an elected official is doing quote-unquote campaign activity and when they are not. So Secretary Vilsack came on as the former governor of Iowa to talk specifically about the campaign. And no, there was no pre-planning or anything before this. They didn't know I was going to ask. I just asked questions and away we went. So here's about 10 minutes of our conversation on Friday with former governor of Iowa, Tom Vilsack. And right now we are very honored to bring on to the program the United States Secretary of Agriculture. He was also a two-term governor of Iowa. And like us, a great Midwest person here, Iowan. He is the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, and former governor. Would you prefer secretary or governor, sir?
Well, for this interview, I'm appearing in my personal capacity in order to comply with the Hatch Act. So probably governor or just Tom will do.
All right. Sounds good. Well, you know, I try to be respectful of people's position, and you've certainly had a lot of success over the years. Tell us, if you would, just for a moment, governor, how you came growing up in Iowa. You have a love of rural parts of this country. And I was in Ripon, Wisconsin yesterday when Vice President Harris was here alongside former Congresswoman Liz Cheney. And let me tell you, as a 30-year Republican who left the party in 2011, boy, did it sound like speeches that Reagan or either President Bush could have given from the vice president. And what really struck me, Governor Vilsack, was the fact that you have these two people from different parties who put aside their party differences for the love of the country.
Now, that's absolutely the case, Todd. And I would tell you, I think that was an incredibly powerful message that was delivered by Liz Cheney and by the vice president yesterday. And it is a message that I think can resonate, particularly in rural areas. From my knowledge and experience with, living in a small town in Iowa for many years and running the state, which is made up of 850 some small towns, people who live in those small towns, they want to get along. They want their country to be strong. They don't like the division. They don't like the policies of tearing folks down. And they do believe in the rule of law. They do and are proud of our Constitution and of our democracy, and they want to see it preserved. So I thought it was a powerful moment yesterday, and I think it shows the breadth of the vice president's campaign. It's a campaign that can appeal to Democrats, obviously, but also to Republicans and independents, and I think that is a formula for potentially shrinking the margins, if you will, in rural places, which is critically important for any Democrat to have success, whether it's in Wisconsin or any other state.
As a two-term governor of Iowa and someone who's served in various roles in agriculture in his lifetime, you're a guy who knows his way around Dairy Barn. And we have the World Dairy Expo going on right now in Wisconsin as we record this. What do you think the message is from Vice President Harris and Governor Walz? How do they really connect with people like where I grew up in southwest Wisconsin, not that far from Dubuque?
Well, because of the nature of this interview, let me talk about generally the message. I think first and foremost, you have to understand where people are. And I think the vice president and Governor Walz have been traveling in rural areas. They've been talking to rural voters. And here's what they know. They know that people are concerned about the cost of housing. which is why the vice president came out with a proposal to reduce housing costs for first-time homebuyers. They understand and appreciate that people are deeply concerned about the cost of groceries. And if they think that they're not getting a fair deal, they want somebody to fight for them. They want somebody to basically avoid the price gouging that sometimes takes place, the gimmicks that take place. There are a lot of senior citizens living in those small towns. They're deeply concerned about preserving their ability to restrain their drug costs. They now have a pretty good deal where drug costs can be limited to $2,000 out of pocket every year, insulin at $35 a month. That's a pretty good deal. They want to keep that deal. They don't want to see the Affordable Care Act repealed or changed, which I think is a real concern to them. So talking about the issues that really matter to people where they are, I think is incredibly important. Showing up is important because it shows a level of respect and concern, and making sure that you also have presence when the candidate leaves. It isn't enough for you to stop by in those rural areas. You got to have an office. You got to have volunteers. You got to have people talking about the campaign on a constant basis. That's why the Harris-Walz campaign has spent time and resources establishing offices across a number of counties that have never seen a Democratic office before. That's why they've got 16,000 volunteers knocking on a lot of doors, having individual conversations with people saying, look, we want to know what you think. We want to know what you care about so we can convey this back to the campaign. And that's what's happening here in Wisconsin.
My guess is, Governor, you don't get reelected to the state legislature in Iowa, nor get reelected as governor of Iowa without being able to cut across party lines and really connect with people. One of my things I really admire about the Harris-Walz ticket in particular is Governor Tim Walz, you know, a fellow governor from the Midwest, and the fact that he makes common sense. And I thought one of the most poignant moments in the debate with J.D. Vance this past week was when he said, look, you know, I'm a guy that had a shotgun in my back window so I can go pheasant hunting after I got done with football practice. There's a lot of people in Wisconsin that can relate to that.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I say this about Governor Walz. You could put him in any room with any audience. You can put him in a room with hunters. You can put him in a room with nuclear physicists. You could put him in a room with laboring guys, carpenters and bricklayers. You can put him in a room with docs. You can put him in a room with teachers. This is a guy who relates because of his life experiences as a classroom teacher, as a coach, as a member of Congress, an extraordinarily successful member of Congress. And he can relate. I was with him. I've been with him in a number of different circumstances. And I will tell you, he's a people person. Mm-hmm. He is a people person. He understand. He came from a small town. Look, you know what? If you come from a small town, there is no way you can get by only having Republican friends or only having Democratic friends. You got to be able to talk to everybody.
Yeah,
because you got to live next door to everybody. You got to go to school. You got to go to church with everybody. And this is a life lessons that he learned at a very early age that he has taken throughout his entire successful career in politics.
I was at both the Republican National Convention and the Democratic National Convention, the latter, of course, in Chicago. I was Republican for 30 years before I left the party in 2011. Had never been to a national convention of either one. And now in this position, I went to both. I remarked to one of my longtime friends who used to be Republican like myself of the Democratic National Convention, the amount of chants of USA, USA, the amount of American flags, honoring veterans, honoring disabled veterans, the list goes on and on. That could have been a Republican convention from the 1980s. I think the Democrats and the Harris-Walz ticket have done a remarkable job of making this perhaps turning it on its end, and the Democrats are now the big tent party.
Well, that's right, and it's reflected in the fact that you see Republicans endorsing the vice president. The reality is, let's face it, when Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney endorse a Democratic candidate for president, that's news. That is news.
Have you checked the lakes of Iowa? Are they frozen over yet? Or hell is frozen? I'm not sure, but you're right. I mean, it's historic, right?
Absolutely. And frankly, it's not surprising given the number of people in the previous Trump administration that are basically telling the country you can't give him power again. Liz Cheney laid it out yesterday so very, very well. This is an individual who cares about himself and not the country. And I think the vice president has a way forward. She genuinely, from her middle-class background, she understands the struggles of middle-class families, and she wants to make sure that everybody's got a shot.
Yeah. About a minute and a half left here. Governor Tom Vilsack joining us here, and so appreciative of your time, sir. What's your message as a fellow Midwesterner to folks all across rural parts of Wisconsin that are like, you know what, I still know my local sheriff or register of deeds, and I kind of still want to vote them for on the Republican ticket. I'm a little bit wary. I hardly ever, maybe never voted for a Democrat before. What's your message to them, Governor?
Well, my message is simply this. At the foundation of our country is a belief that our Constitution is unique, that we created a government of and for and by the people, that power presides in the people. It's not presiding in the individual. And that if you deeply care about your country and you deeply care about the reputation, about the history of our country, about the fact that we are trying to do something that no other country has ever tried to do, which is to have this republic, to have this democracy. And you're given a choice between someone who will uphold that constitution, who believes in that constitution, who understands it's fundamental to our very existence, versus somebody who's willing to disregard the constitution, to basically tear it up, ignore it, to try to basically force himself back into power as he did on January 6th, that is a very stark choice. And as a Republican, you can feel confident that you're doing what is right for the country by casting your vote for the vice president. Now, you should also know that this is a vice president who has made a commitment to be the president of all the people. Which is why the housing initiative, the price gouging initiative, the various middle class opportunity agenda that she's put forward isn't a Democratic agenda. It's an agenda that speaks to the needs of people across the political spectrum. And that's why you'll see more Democrats, more Republicans, more independents basically hopping on this campaign. You don't see that on the other side. You see a very very narrow band of individuals very passionate about President Trump, but you don't see a lot of Democrats saying he's our guy. You don't see a lot of independents coming out and saying he's our guy, because they understand and appreciate the choice here. And I think Liz Cheney said it best. If you do the patriotic thing, to do the right thing for the country, there's only one choice here.
Yeah, I had the honor of being in Ripon yesterday in that crowd. And, you know, I've been to a lot of political events over my lifetime, and you know better than anybody else, Governor. Sometimes, you know, when the really good ones, you can't fake it. Either the chemistry is there, either the authenticity is there, or it's not. And to see Liz Cheney and Kamala Harris on stage and truly enjoying the moment, and for the first time in a long time, Governor, I thought that's why I was in politics for 30 years, because when you have really great people committed to a really great cause and something more larger than ourselves, it makes you feel like you belong. So excited to have you here, Governor. Thank you so very much. Really quickly, I'm really nervous, Governor. My Badgers got to go to Iowa to play this year. What do you think? Hawkeyes over the Badgers?
You should be nervous. That defense is real. The defense in Iowa is real.
That's what I'm scared of, Governor.
I can't say much about the offense at this point, but I'm going to tell you the defense is absolutely real.
All right. Well, thank you for your service to the country, Governor. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Thank you. There you have it. The former governor, two-term governor of Iowa, Tom Vilsack, now U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, and second time, actually, was the longest-serving secretary under former President Barack Obama, was Obama's Secretary of Agriculture for 8 years, and then took a break during the Trump years, and then came back for Joe Biden. So there's a guy who really knows, and I think he's gotten a lot of laudits for working in a bipartisan manner to make things work. So,
which is exactly what we need right now, that's for sure.
Right, exactly. So we thank the former governor of Iowa, Tom Vilsack, for his time. We're going to come back and bring you news. Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, in Springfield, Ohio, there is a person that's eating geese and perhaps got them illegally. We will finally tell you who it was. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Greg Bach and meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, you ever name any of your vehicles?
I have a Jeep Wrangler right now, and I named it Natural Disaster.
I've been driving Wranglers for forever here.
Right, I'll just see you guys later.
Do you duck anybody?
I've got the duck it bucket in the back.
What
I'm ready to go.
Are you talking about? Hey, where are my Honda Insights at?
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up at the top of the hour, CBS News Radio or ABC News Radio, depending upon which station you are listening to in the Civic Media Radio Network. A little news, weather, and sports locally and across the state after that. And then get ready. It is the Maggie Dawn Show across Wisconsin and around the world via the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn every afternoon from 2 until 4, followed by the great program, the Dom Salvia Show with Mr. Dominic Salvia himself from 4 until 6, and then Nightlight with Pete Swaba taking you into the evening. And then you got Native Roots Radio and, of course, the Rick Smith Show across America as well. So a great lineup all day long. And again, Zomers, kudos to Pete, but also to you for that promo with Choro.
She just fantastic. Loves cheese. Right? And you know what? She's ready to be eating cheese for 24 hours, and I support that. Also, yeah, she's in Baraboo. I think it's this weekend, so if you want to check it out.
I may have to go see Charo in Baraboo.
That's this weekend.
Coochie, coochie, coo.
Exactly.
Did she do that on the show? Did she give Pete a little coochie, coochie, coo?
Yes.
That's fantastic. I love it. I'm insanely jealous of that interview, but I'm happy Pete got it. You can hear Pete every evening starting at 6 o'clock, Nightlight, right here on Civic Media. All right, update. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Donald Trump spreading all kinds of lies, rumors, and innuendos, along with J.D. Vance, who represents Ohio in the United States Senate, saying that Haitians, immigrants, said they were undocumented, which they were not, are not. It was Haitians eating pets, as Trump said. They're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, killing geese who are pets. The truth has come out. Huffington Post, HuffPost.com headline from a couple of days ago. Actually, from October 3rd. Headline, someone was arrested for killing geese in Springfield. But it was not a Haitian. Brian Comer, a 64-year-old white man, was arrested of illegally hunting geese at a golf course on the day Trump amplified racist lies about Haitian immigrants in the city. 64-year-old white man from Springfield, Ohio, was accused of illegally hunting geese at a golf course pond. As former President Donald Trump and his running mate, Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio, were spreading racist lies that Haitian immigrants in the area were eating geese and people's pets. Brian Comer was charged with a misdemeanor in connection with the September 10th incident. According to an arrest affidavit obtained by HuffPost, a golfer at Rocky Lakes Golf Course in Springfield reported seeing a Canadian goose floating in a pond and Comer using a shotgun to shoot another bird. Comer didn't immediately respond to a request for comment from HuffPost, but court records show he entered a guilty plea. A court spokesman told HuffPost he paid $200 to cover the fine and court fees. Journalist Stephen Markelli first posted about the arrest on X, formerly Twitter. According to the affidavit by an Ohio Division of Wildlife officer, the golfer approached Comer about the dead goose in the pond, and Comer said there would be several more dead geese in a few minutes. Comer repeatedly got on a lawnmower with a shotgun and fired twice, killing a second goose. Yes, it was a crazy white dude, an American, on a lawnmower with a shotgun that were killing geese in Springfield, Ohio.
This is what other countries think of Americans. I mean, and we're not proving them wrong.
You can't make this stuff up. Officers who spoke with the golf course manager the following day learned that Comer was an employee. The manager told authorities that she allowed several individuals, including Comer, to hunt on the property and claimed he would have all appropriate licenses and permits. However, when authorities checked with the Division of Wildlife Licensing and Harvest Database, Comer did not have certifications to hunt migratory birds. Comer told authorities over the phone he was cutting the grass at the course that day and wanted to shoot a few geese, but admitted he did not have the necessary license or permits, according to the affidavit. This is how it starts, you guys. Blatant lies. The psychological profile of a person on the world political stage was described by the following points. See if you can tell who this is. His primary rules are: 1, never allow the public to cool off. 2, never admit a fault or a wrong. 3, never concede that there may be some good in your enemy. 4, never leave room for alternatives. 5, never accept blame. 6, concentrate on one enemy at a time and blame him for everything that goes wrong. 7, people will believe a big lie sooner than a little one. And 8, if you repeat a big lie frequently enough, people will sooner or later believe it. That was how the United States Office of Strategic Services explained Adolf Hitler's manipulation of his followers. Knowing history can be very helpful indeed. We started the program earlier today, or at least close to the beginning, talking about the importance of temperament, of leadership, that words matter. Time and again, we have seen through this campaign that Donald Trump simply does not have the temperament to hold the highest office in the land. You don't have to be a card-carrying Democrat. In fact, you could still be a Republican if you want. But remember this, particularly women. My sister reminded me of this. There's notes right now in women's restrooms and stalls on post-it notes. Say, remember, your husband doesn't know how you vote when you go into that booth. Great show. Appreciate you. Mr. Zomeris, thank you. Thanks to Secretary Vilsack. Maggie Dawn is next. Keep banging your drum.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Congressman Mark Pocan stops by for an update on Congress hobbling toward the finish line and a visit from State Assembly Rep Jody Emerson.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate.
Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.